Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, exclusive interviews with leading experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes of clinical trials, research, and innovation. In this episode, we spoke with Shantae Lundy, founder and CEO of Black Girl Sunscreen. She talked about the inspiration behind building a sunscreen brand designed for people with melanin-rich skin and the broader challenges surrounding sun protection in patients with skin of color. In our discussion, Lundy reflected on gaps in education, representation, product development, and clinical research, while sharing her perspective on how dermatologists, estheticians, brands, and industry leaders can work together to improve sunscreen adoption and skin health outcomes across diverse patient populations. To start, if you could tell us a little bit about your education, your entrepreneurial background, and what inspired you to start the brand.
Hello, my name is Shantae Lundy, and I'm the creator and founder of Black Girl Sunscreen. So I am originally from upstate New York, by the way, of South Florida, where I earned my MBA in business. And I got my undergrad from SUNY Cortland, very proud of that. And I was in corporate America for about 12 years in South Florida. And when I rotated out of corporate America, I decided to move to Los Angeles. And I did that with no job, no place to live. What it allowed me to do was reset my mind. So here in Los Angeles, I was big on hiking, doing yoga, walking my dog. And by the way, this was 10 years ago. So in 2016, I was new to the city and wondering how people just kind of did nothing throughout the day. And it was quite intriguing. So, you know, during my hikes, and during kind of like, I wouldn't say soul searching, but just taking a moment from everyday life, my friends would ask me, Shantae, so you're outside like every day hiking, you know, are you wearing sunscreen? And my answer was, I mean, do you see this complexion? Like, why would I be wearing sunscreen? And they're like, because you burn. And I'm like, I don't burn, but okay, let me just see what I could find, right? Because they did have a point. Like, I was outside like every day. And I was getting darker, but I wasn't necessarily like burning. So one day I get on Auntie Google and I put in keywords such as, you know, sunscreen for, you know, brown skin, sunscreen for ethnic skin, sunscreen for black skin, sunscreen for black women, and came up shorthanded. And I was like, okay, so these brands are clearly, there's brands of sunscreen out there, but they don't say, you know, for my skin type. And the biggest issue of why Black people at the time, this was 10 years ago, brown people didn't wear sunscreen was because of the white cast. Now, in everyday regimen, the typical behavior of a brown and black person is when you get out of the shower, you're moisturizing, you're hydrating your skin. So when you come across a product that does quite the opposite, it is a complete turnoff. So when I noticed that companies weren't necessarily speaking that language, I asked myself three questions, right? Because this was also during a time where I saw my peers going into hair care, starting hair care businesses, starting skincare businesses, starting clothing line businesses. And it was about this like Black girl magic thing. And I felt so inspired, but I didn't know like what I was supposed to do during that time. And once the sunscreen conversation came up, I had to ask myself questions like, hey, number one, will other Black women, and our vernacular has expanded over the years, so we weren't saying Black and brown, we were just saying Black at the time, because that's a difference. So will Black women wear this product, right? Number two, do I have the resources to make a product? And then number three, do I have the confidence? And once all three of those questions were answered, it was like, okay, you're going to be making a sunscreen product. That's where I'm from. It's shaped my life to who I am today, and that's why and how I started the business.
Why have many existing sunscreen formulations failed to meet the needs of skin of color patients?
I think historically, sunscreen companies have, honestly, it's hard to say, but we'll say it, right? Like Black people, brown people haven't been the focus. They've been formulating for folks that they think get sunburn, right? So if we jump to the extreme of why sunscreen exists, and that's to prevent melanoma and skin cancer, right? Historically, black and brown people, the number's low, right? We don't skew as high as non-people of color. So with that information, I believe the thought process is like, okay, well, this isn't for them, right? So if there's no data behind a certain group of people being prone to get something, then there is no fix, there is no remedy. So that's the historics of it. I also think that sunscreen brands were super brazen, meaning like, this is what we're making. You have no other option. We're putting on the shelf. You buy. You look crazy. Doesn't matter. You have there. There's no other choice. And that's the point that is so disturbing and so just rude, if you will, because why don't I have an option of how I want to appear using a certain product that is supposed to keep me healthy, my skin healthy. So it's not just sunscreen companies, right? It's the people behind the sunscreen company, because really a sunscreen company is kind of like a distributor, right? Because you have the people that are formulating, so you have the chemist, then you have the contract manufacturer that is mass producing. And then you have the sunscreen company that's like, okay, I can do this and I can craft a story behind why a consumer should wear it and how they're identifying to a brand. And then there's a retailer, right? If you sell on retail, saying like, yeah, okay, we believe the story. Let's see if the consumer believes the story. And then you have marketers that, amp it up or don't amp it up. Right. And I think marketers have a big role in this too, right? I would say pre-2000, man, to pre-2019, right? Marketers and writers, editors were not writing a sunscreen article during non-sunscreen season. And what I mean by that, if you think about, anything after, let's just say August, all the way until like Feb, no one's talking about sunscreen. And that has to do with publications and media, right? So they even kept us in a bubble of when and how to wear sunscreen. So I think that there's a lot of hands into why people of color, Black people, didn't wear sunscreen. And to this day, there are still a lot of people that don't wear it daily. And you hear me getting passionate about it because this is a problem. 70% of Americans don't wear sunscreen. So here we are, with whatever brand that's on the shelf, and you go to put it on, it doesn't matter if it's mineral or synthetic, you're still looking the same and it doesn't feel good. And there are so many movies where everybody knows who's the tourist, right? Because they have on their sunscreen, maybe something on their nose, they might be sunburned, and that's just what you have on the shelf. So then you have the healthcare professionals, right? That aren't really learning how to treat skin of color. They're not recommending, hey, after these procedures, make sure you put on your SPF. Estheticians, after a facial, they should be telling their clients wear SPF. That's not what you always get. So there's just multiple layers of why Black people and brown people have been left out of the conversation, and it's because it's a lack of education. From what I understand, the clinics are challenging. Okay, so you can come across a patient that has, that has melanin in their skin, okay? the doctor could say, hey, are you open to being part of this research? The patient has to agree. Some don't agree. So there is also a lack of available melanated patients for medical students, derm students to even test on. So if black skin, deeper skin isn't available, then there's still no data, right? And I know this because we partner with universities, derm students that tell us like we don't actually have the numbers to give sufficient data. So that's a problem within itself. There's a lot going on, behind the scenes when it comes to this world of derms, and it's extremely competitive. When it comes to, black patients, they want to see folks that look like them. So that's really challenging when 3% of the derm world is black, right? So like that's why you can't get in until March of 2028. So that's also, another conversation. And then depending on what state you live in, I mean, I'm in Los Angeles, so there's I wouldn't say an abundance, but there's at least 10 black derms that are based in Los Angeles, right? Whereas you go to another state and there might be like one or none. So I think that there's many things that could be discussed when it comes to, the black demographic and the lack of.
From a product development and ingredient standpoint, how do you ensure that proper UV protection is met while still creating cosmetically elegant formulas in Black Girl Sunscreen products?
Testing is extremely important for us. We've seen formulas come back not with the proper numbers, right? So if we're saying, hey, we're going to formulate a product that's, I don't know, let's just say an SPF 50, and it comes back at an SPF level of 45, right? We don't put it out. We keep trying. We revise until we get the desired outcome. And that's what's important, is being honest on what the product actually is. So that's one thing that Black Girl Sunscreen does to ensure that our customers getting what we say they're getting. We're also very mission driven and community driven. So we adhere to Black Girl Sunscreen, no white cast. We make you feel good and look good. And we might go through, 10 iterations of a formula to achieve whatever it is we say that we're trying to do. And if that is no white cast, then that is truly no white cast. And if that is, we make you feel good and look good, that's subjective, right? Because each person has an idea of how they want their skin, their skincare to feel. So if it's supposed to be lightweight, then we're trying our best to do that, right? If it's supposed to maybe be hydrating and a little bit heavier, then we're trying to do that. So that's how we're ensuring that our consumer is getting, I guess, the best formula that Black Girl Sunscreen can give.
In your experience, what are the most common misconceptions regarding sun protection among patients with skin of color? How do you and the brand work to address these?
I mean, the biggest one is that, because we have melanated skin, we don't need sunscreen. What I will say though, Marie, is I said a number that 7% of Americans don't wear sunscreen, okay? So I'm coming across non-Black people, non-people of color, maybe from Jersey, from the East Coast, and they actually like to be brown and tan, and they say we don't burn. So I don't mean to take this away from Black and brown people, but I do believe that there is a misconception amongst many people that because if they haven't burned, then they won't burn. So it is because of their life experience and what their desire aesthetics is. So with that, Black people, we have a deeper complexion. We don't know that our skin has burned until later. And I'm talking about we're past the burn stage, we're past aloe stage, right? We're now peeling. And the question is like, why am I peeling? Like, what happened? Do I have a rash or what has happened? And you have to put two and two together. Maybe you were, I don't know, running errands. That's kind of like the everyday thing. But maybe you were on a cruise. Maybe you were on vacation. Maybe you were doing all these kind of like sun activities and you had your skin exposed and you just didn't know. So that's the number one misconception is that because you have melanated skin or skin of with some pigments that you don't need sunscreen. Number two is that our ancestors have survived many years without having to wear sunscreen. When I travel, I'm a world traveler, so I go to, I don't know, let's say Southeast Asia or some island in the middle of the ocean, and how they're protecting themselves is not by wearing sunscreen. They're wearing maybe like a long shirt, long pants with the shorts, right, to keep themselves cool but also not from burning. When you go to Asian countries, they have an umbrella, they have protective clothing. So I think that people are just not going in the sun as much. And if they are used to a certain behavior so they don't get sunburned or exposed to these other things, like that's a reason of why they're not wearing sunscreen, but also because listen, this is how my culture and this is how my people have been doing it. Why change it now? Right? So like why stop wearing, I don't know, the hat, the full brim? Why stop wearing the long sleeves? Why stop doing these things if this is how we've been providing all these years? So that's number two, right? Like our ancestors of many cultures have done it this way, so I'm not changing it. Number three, the only benefit that some people see that sunscreen offers is the prevention of cancer. Now, on a cosmetic side, we all know that there's benefits that may delay anti-aging in terms of skin. The benefit of evening out complexion, right? People aren't talking about that as much. That's not the call out on a sunscreen product, right? So folks aren't going into it or founders and sunscreen owners aren't going into sunscreen as a solution-based product. They're going into it as, you won't get sunburned, right? So there are many reasons and misconceptions of the why nots. I just gave three.
How can the clinical dermatology community and brands like Black Girl Sunscreen better collaborate to rewrite the narrative about photoprotection, clinical trial inclusion, and skin cancer prevention for patients with skin of color?
It just starts with representation. And I think it's actually harder or easier said than done. So, if Black people are participating in clinical research, testing, that would definitely be helpful. Now we're starting to see diversity and inclusion in marketing, which actually I have a lot to say about that. But we won't go there because, well, we will go there. So when I say representation matters and being including in marketing materials and seeing yourself reflected in many things, and it's not just about color, but it's about gender, it's about, age, it's about lifestyle, it makes a huge difference. Because if, I'm a person that kind of just gardens and that's just like what I do, versus someone that, is let's say laying out in the sun. That's two different mentalities, right? So how are we getting all people to be seen in a way that makes them think like, okay, this is something that I should be incorporating into my daily life. So when it comes to representation, right, how are derms thinking about it? How are healthcare providers thinking about what representation means? That would be my question for them, right? Because it's across the board. And when I say brown people, I'm talking about non-black people. So I'm thinking of like Afro-Latinas. I'm thinking about Latinos, Latinas. I'm thinking about Middle Easterners. I'm thinking about anyone that has pigmented skin. So it's not just black people. All people should just be represented. So I think that's how like the derm community could work with organizations like mine, but I think there also has to be a desire. And I'm not sure if the desire is honestly there. I'm seeing it's a really interesting world, Marie, and this might be controversial, okay? But I'm gonna say it. What I'm seeing right now is derms, go through all the training and the schooling, and that's great. And they learn, and then they come and they work for a practice, or they start their own practice, and then they start making their own products, and it becomes this entrepreneurial spirit. But then also they have the technical and education, and it's just like they want to do their own thing. So they focus on what they want as opposed to saying like, hey, you know what? There's a community out here that needs this education. I just think it's conflicting. Like people in derm right now, they just have different objectives. And I don't know if it's to truly treat patients for all the skin conditions that are out there. So besides sunscreen, right? There's so many things that can be treated from a derm, but because of the world that we live in, Marie, it's more about the entrepreneurship, the brand deals, the creators, the influencers. So I think that in the derm world, some have just lost the way. Some do it for a lot of people, not just derms, doctors and founder, anybody, right? This is the way of marketing. This is the way of maybe getting new patients to see you, right? And you can be on the insurance portals, right? You can be a name, but like, okay, you're just a name. So now I gotta research who you are, as opposed to you being viral on a social media platform and then you're booked out until 2028. Like, okay. Is that what how you want to run your practice? Maybe, but there's some people with some really serious skin conditions that need to be seen. Okay, so you have all that, and then you have the folks that are head down practicing their medicine, seeing patients, and that's the core of what they're doing. So I just say that to say that for the folks that are not head down and, just trying to, create a bigger business, and we're not going to knock them for that. I think that's where the lack of collaboration comes into play, because they think that they can just do it themselves. They don't need, I don't know, some founder of some company that is no white residue. They don't need to work with them because they already know the facts. They can get the same clientele by having a video. So I just think that there's competition that comes into play there. So sure, representation matters, right? On one hand, that's in the beginning stages, so you can get some general knowledge. But then when you're, I don't know, 10 levels, 10 levels, you just do it yourself. Dermatologists and estheticians are instrumental in this journey, right? I would say estheticians probably the first line of defense before derm, because clients are able to get into an esthetician quicker than a derm, but also an esthetician may be more affordable than a derm. And I say that because if you're going just for like a facial or some type of, skin treatment, let's call it a couple $100, right? Whereas some practices, they only accept insurance, right? And also patients don't go to the derm unless there's something like emergency, their whole face breaks out. Or maybe they have a mole that's unexplainable, or the hair is thinning, right? Because derms treat across the gamut. And what I'm seeing in my world as I talk to different people across the world is patient or people aren't going to the derm until like the age of almost 30 years old. So that's why I say that derms and estheticians are so crucial to the conversation, because once somebody is seen by a derm, then they'll typically follow through with the recommendations and the treatment. So everybody needs to hold hands when it comes to the conversation of sun safety, sunscreen, and how to use it properly. So that's something that I'm not sure if everybody is talking about. I'm not sure if even just healthcare, like how do we get more people to go in for, annual skin checks? They don't think they need it, but like you don't really know. But let's just make it part of us being healthy and creating like longevity for our lives, right? Like that should be the conversation. So I just think that it's something that folks should really be thinking about is the importance of skin health. And forget about whatever the brand story is, and if you think it's gimmicky, it's bigger than a marketing story. Like your skin health is extremely important to your life.
Like this podcast, have suggestions, or want to participate in future episodes? Contact our team at dtheditor@mmhgroup.com. For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos and podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.